From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. For the first time, three women will sit on the bench of the United States Supreme Court. By a vote of 63-37, the Senate today confirmed Elena Kagan to replace retired Justice John Paul Stevens. The U.S. government once again lists Iran as the most active state sponsor of terrorism. NPR's Mike Schuster says it's one of several findings in the State Department's annual report on global terrorism.
The State Department report says Iran provides financial, material, and logistical support for terrorist groups in the Middle East and Central Asia. That includes backing for groups considered terrorist by the State Department in Lebanon, Iraq, and the Palestinian territories, and for the Taliban in Afghanistan as well. It has long been known that Iran provides financial backing and weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza, but there are continuing questions about how much political control this material support actually buys for Iran. As for direct threats to the United States, the State Department says the core membership of al-Qaeda based in Pakistan, with affiliates in Yemen and Africa, represents the most formidable threat to the U.S. homeland itself. According to the report, al-Qaeda continues to be adaptable and resilient and to plot against the U.S. Mike Schuster, NPR News.
Crews in the Gulf of Mexico have finished pumping cement into the top of BP's broken well, and Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen says they've moved on to the next step.
It's called squeezing. And what they do is they put some fluid into the well above the cement that doesn't adhere to the cement, and then they put mud behind it, and then they compress it.
Allen says completion of the static kill is not the end. He says that'll happen when a relief well intersects with the old well and is plugged with cement. The Senate today approved legislation aimed at saving the jobs of hundreds of thousands of teachers and other state and local workers. But while Democrats please some of their constituents with the $26 billion bill, NPR's Pam Fessler reports they upset others by cutting food stamp benefits to help pay for it.
The food stamp cut involves benefit increases that were approved as part of last year's economic stimulus package. Under the new jobs bill, those benefits would be cut beginning in 2014, costing a family of four as much as $60 a month. Lawmakers are increasingly worried about the federal deficit, but Jim Weil, president of the Food Research and Action Center, an advocacy group, says there has to be a better way to cover the cost of the bill.
We've got a $14 trillion economy and a $3 trillion federal budget. And if the only way they can pay for anything is by cutting food stamps, then the nation's in more trouble than anybody thought before.
1,400 anti-hunger groups have signed on to a letter opposing the cuts. The House is expected to act on the legislation next week. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
Weaker than expected retail sales in July helped drive stocks slightly lower on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 5 points at 10,674. The Nasdaq fell 10 points. This is NPR News. Mexico's Supreme Court has upheld a law that allows same-sex marriage in the capital. Since March 4th, gay couples have been allowed to marry. The conservative government of President Felipe Calderón challenged the law, arguing it would be destructive to families. But today, justices ruled 8-2 to uphold it, saying Mexico's constitution enshrines protection for families, but does not define what a family is. Grammy-winning hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean has submitted paperwork to run for president of Haiti. But as Flora Thompson DeVoe reports from member station WLRN in Miami, it remains to be seen whether he's constitutionally allowed to be a candidate.
The way Wyclef Jean puts it in a video from Time.com, running for president wasn't a choice.
As a Haitian citizen, if I'm to just stand back for another 5 years and just watch this country getting toppled after going on the ground, picking up bodies, then I won't be able to sleep at night.
Moral issues aside, there's been some confusion over whether or not John is even qualified to run. Haiti's constitution says presidential candidates must have lived in the country for 5 consecutive years, and they cannot have dual citizenship. John was born in a suburb of Port-au-Prince, but moved to Brooklyn as a child. John insists he does qualify. He says he has a Haitian passport and a green card. A list of eligible candidates will be released on August 17th. For NPR News, I'm Flora Thompson DeVoe in Miami.
A federal judge is putting wolves in Montana and Idaho back on the endangered species list. A U.S. district court says the government made a political decision when it removed protections from 2 of the 3 states where the Rocky Mountain wolves roam. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.
Support for